Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength with the number 4, thejourney.com. That's strength for the journey with the number 4. And this is program number 48 if you're listening by shortwave radio. Today I have three very, very special guests in the studio. I have one of the very, very special, most special guest is my wife that's joining me today. Ramsey, and I'm so excited that Janet and Ray Clark are here today as well. We're in the midst of a month-long crusade throughout Panama, and we've already spent the last week and a half in Panama City, and we went had several meetings in Panama City and Colon, and we went to three cities in the central province. We went to Penonome, Agua Dulce, and Santiago, and we just got back from Santiago a couple of nights ago. Incredible opportunities to minister in schools to young children, and the gospel will spread everywhere. And so today we're going to share a little bit about what's going on right now in Panama, and also just to bring some inspiration to those that are listening, that you don't have to go into all the world to preach the gospel. You can preach the gospel right next door to your neighbor, because there's so many people in the world right now today that need to hear the gospel. And I'm going to open it up, and I'm just going to let Janet share a little bit from her heart. The Lord's done many things in Janet and Ray's lives lately. It's interesting that God is separating out people who have a heart to know and to what the will of God is for their life right now, and to follow the Lord wherever He may lead them. And just recently, the Lord called Janet and Ray to sell everything, and they sold their property or their business, and they sold furniture, and they became mobile. And I just want to let Janet just kind of share a little bit about what's going on in her life and the transition that God is doing right now in your life.
Thank you, Andrew. It's great to be here again, Andrew and Ramsey. You know, I was just thinking as you were talking and we're sitting here, just how neat it is that here we are 27 years later. You know, you were my first actually Christian friend that I ever met, and you and Ramsey, and looking back over all the years, how God has kept you two on fire for Him, and just looking, just how neat God works. You know, your passion for souls, Ramsey's passion for souls, and, you know, Ray and I, our passion for souls. And, you know, I was preaching a message, it was probably about 7 months ago. It was a message I preached before, and it was about the rich young ruler when, you know, he asked Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus told him some of the things he should do, and he was like, well, I've done all these things. And Jesus said, well, you lack one thing. You know, sell all you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. And, you know, I've preached that message many times as an altar, you know, as a salvation message. And when I preached that message, so it was probably back in March or April, I heard the Holy Spirit say, would you be willing to do that again for me? And I was like, yeah, Lord, no problem. Not having any idea that a few months later that Ray and I would be selling all that we have and to come follow Him. Not that we weren't following Him, but in another level, in another dimension. And so that's what we did. We just felt like God was calling us to live on the road, to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. And so we been on the road now since July 28th, traveling all across the States and Canada, and here we are in Panama for a month. And just to be able to share the good news, you know, that's why they call it the gospel. It's good news. And you know, I thank God for the lady in the laundromat who had enough courage and guts to look past my faults and see my need of a Savior.
Well, many people don't know who this lady in the laundromat was. Why don't you explain a little bit about what happened and what your background was that woman and the lady in the laundromat actually touched your life?
Yeah. Well, I was raised as a Muslim. I didn't know that Jesus loved me. I didn't know that Jesus was the Son of God and that there was a great price paid for my sin. I didn't know that. So I thought that I had to cover my hair and pray in a language that I really didn't understand five times a day. I couldn't barely do that. And I had to do all the religious things that my religion taught me. And, you know, we weren't very strong religious people growing up. So I grew up with a void in my life of love. I didn't know what true love was, and I began searching for love in all the wrong places. Drugs, money, people, things. I was strung out on cocaine. I was a bouncer in a bar selling drugs from Dallas, Texas to Detroit, Michigan. Searching. I was just searching. You know, I was spiritually blinded by the God of this world, looking for love. And this lady in the laundromat was two doors from the bar that I worked at. And so she knew who I was. She knew what I was doing. And so when I went in the laundromat, it was an opportunity for her to witness to me and invite me to this thing called a Bible study. I didn't know what a Bible was, let alone a Bible study. And so, you know, I would say, no, thank you, it's against my religion. And she would say, well, I'm praying for you. And months would go by. And every time I'd go in that laundromat, she'd say, I'm praying for you. If you ever need anything, I'll be here for you. Well, I was hearing tormenting voices in my head. You know, you're no good. Just kill yourself. Nobody loves you. Look at you're a loser. You're fat. You're ugly. Nobody cares about you. Nobody will even miss you. And I began, you know, these voices would just torment me. And so finally, for the second time, I went to go run through a window at the restaurant I was working at. The first time I took a bottle of pills, that didn't work. And the second time I went to go run through a window. And it was like right before I got to the window, it was like somebody pulled the back of my shirt to stop me. And when I turned around to see who it was nobody. I now know that it was the Holy Spirit. It was God intervening on my life because he had plans and purposes for me. And so I ended up going to the lady in the laundromat. I called her. I went to the payphone and got her phone number and went to her house. And I spent the night. I was so afraid to leave. And she actually let me spend the night in her home. Here's a lady that doesn't know me, other than she knows I'm a bouncer in a bar selling drugs, doing things I shouldn't be doing. But she knew something. She had authority. Greater was he that was in her than the devil that was living in me. And she had been claiming my soul for the kingdom of God since July. And now it's November 4th or November 1st. So I spent the night. The next day I woke up. And because I'm so performance-oriented, I thought love was based on performance. So I thought, I know, I'll go to that Bible study Wednesday night. I owe her. She did something nice for me. So I went to that Bible study that Wednesday night, and I just knew that they had something I didn't have. They had peace. They had love. They had hope. They had joy. I was angry, miserable, frustrated, fearful, tormented. I had unforgiveness, bitterness, rage, all inside of me. And I was just a hurting 25-year-old looking for the answer to my life. And that night I realized they had what I needed. I just didn't know what it was. So I was like, please tell me, what is it? And they opened up the Bible to John 14:6. I read 1 through 6. And when I got to 6, it was like someone just took scales off my eyes. I saw Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the only way to the Father is through me. And when I read that, it was like I was blind and now I could see. Wow, he said, I'm the way. I'm not some way. I'm not a way. I'm the way. I'm the truth. So that means everything else I believed before that was a lie. He said, I'm the truth and I'm the life. And I realized that the life I was living was my own life, the life I created for myself, not the life he desired for me, the abundant life, a life of peace, of health, of joy, of victory. You know, and so that night I gave my life to the Lord, and I had to learn one important thing, and that was forgiveness. I had to forgive myself for the mess I got my life in, and I forgive my mom who died and told me I was driving her to her grave, so I thought it was my fault. So I had to forgive her for telling me I was driving her to her grave. And then I had to forgive my father, the man I thought I hated, because he never told me he loved me. He never put his arm around me. He put clothes on my back, food on a table, and a roof over my head. That was an obligation I thought a parent was supposed to do. So I had to learn how to forgive. And now my father and I have a great relationship, and you know, God has done a great restoration work in my family. And it was shortly after that I met you. And then you and Ramsey got engaged, and I was in your wedding, Miss Ramsey.
So I'm going to turn it over to Ramsey, let her share a few words too, because this was a very special girl, because she took the place of maid of honor in our wedding. This is how special she was to us. So I'm going to let Ramsey share a few words here.
I know that there's a lot of hurting people out there, and Janet said that there was somebody out there that was bold enough to step forward and to give her the gospel. So I know that there's many people out there that are hindered, that have been covered by deception, covered by blinders. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I break off every blinder. I break off every hindrance. I break off every word curse. I break off everything that is hindering you from standing up and being the man or the woman of God that God has called you to be, to rise up and set the captives free. I bless you with anointing that will break the yokes. I bless you with an anointing that will break the yokes, not only in other people's lives, but in your life, in your home, in Jesus' name. I speak forth a river of love, a river of anointing, a river of cleansing in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bless you. I speak forth forgiveness over you. I stand in the position of saying, I am sorry. I am sorry that your mother or father lacked in giving you the love that you needed to rise up and be everything that God has called you to be. I say sorry to you for the teacher that said to you, you will amount up to nothing. I am saying sorry to you in the name of Jesus Christ, that now you can say, it's all right. I forgive them and I release them. And now I walk in my wholeness of who God says I am, without any hindrances, in Jesus' name. No hindrances over you in Jesus' name. I cut off every negative soul tie in the name of Jesus Christ. And I bless you right now to rise up and be who God says you are. You are victorious. You are a world changer.
The lady in a laundromat just showed up to many people on the air right now. And many people needed to hear those words, because they need someone to encourage them that it's okay. The past can be the past, but you have to let it go. The Lord showed me a big pair of spiritual scissors when I first gave my heart to the Lord. And He said that I needed to forgive those people that had hurt me and had said things that were harmful and hurtful to my heart. And I needed to just forgive them. And He said, if I would do that, I would take these spiritual pair of scissors and I would cut them loose from me, and I would be free to go with Him. And many people right now are in bondage right now with bitterness and unforgiveness, and that they're really, they're not able to go forward because they're living in the past. They're looking behind them. And the Lord, I believe right now, wants to release many people right now if they will just say, I forgive them, and just let it go. Just take those big pair of spiritual scissors and just cut them free. Because all they are is just a big ball and chain to your future if you won't let them go. And it's not going to hurt anybody but you. You're not hurting them. You're hurting yourself. So I just encourage you just to forgive them and let them go. Ray, I want you to share a few words too. God's done many things in your life. Since you were 22, I believe the Lord, you really accepted the Lord as your Lord and Savior. You know, it's many times people accept Him as Savior, but they don't really accept Him as Lord. And there's a big difference when you accept Him as Lord. That means you're the servant of the Lord. So I just want you to share maybe of how do people go to the point that they go from Jesus as Savior to Jesus as Lord, and how the blessing of God has followed you and pursued you once you make that choice?
Well, no, for me, you know, what has transformed me the most since I received Christ in my heart is the love of God. And, you know, that's what I share. That's what we share when we share the gospel. We want everyone to know and to understand that God loves them. Doesn't matter where they're at, what they've done, or who they did it with, or who they did it to. That God loves them, and to receive that love, they must be yielded to the Holy Spirit. They must be yielded to the voice of the Lord. You know, the word says, perfect love casteth out all fear, because fear involves torment. And so knowing that perfect love does that, and that is the love of God, you know, when you've been empowered by his love, you know, his love is endless. It is boundless, you know, and that love compels you. It compels you to go out and to share and to be a witness and to live a humbled, submitted life unto Christ. I remember the very first time I ever was led by the Holy Spirit to witness to an individual. You know, the cry of my heart as a new believer was, I wanted to truly be used by God. I know I had these gifts, these talents, and these abilities, but I didn't know how to access them. And so the most humblest, simplest prayer that I prayed was, God, use me. I want to be used. And the first thing I did was I started serving. The greatest example that I had growing up was my grandmother. She was a prayer warrior. She was a woman of great faith, a woman of great courage. And she served. She served the church in any capacity. She cooked. She cleaned. She led prayers, Bible studies. She taught Sunday school. And so I seen her example of serving. And so as a new believer in Christ, I desired to serve. I wanted God to use me. So anytime the pastor of our church would ask for volunteers, because of what I see my grandmother do, I would raise my hand. This was a church of 6,000 believers. And of that 6,000 believers, maybe 20 would show up to volunteer, and I'd always be one of the 20 because I wanted God to use me. And one particular afternoon, I was leaving the church, and I just felt the impression of the Holy Spirit upon my heart to go in a certain direction, to drive in a certain direction I'd never driven before, take a different route home. And as I was driving, I would just follow his instructions and ended up at this gas station, and I walked inside the store. And walked inside the gas station, excuse me, and I walked back out. And as I was walking back out, a delivery guy pulled up, and you know, he got out of his truck and he started walking towards me. I had never done this before in my life. Again, I just wanted to be used by God in any capacity that any capacity he would use me. And so he gets out of his truck, and as he's walking towards me, we make eye contact. And all of a sudden, as we made eye contact, I didn't know it then, but just the Holy Spirit took over, because his word says he will give us what to say in that hour. He will give it to us what to say. I wasn't prepared as to how I was going to speak to him. I didn't know I was going to speak to him. I just looked at him. We made eye contact, and the words came out. Excuse me, sir. I don't know who you are. You know who I am, but I want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you. And immediately, this older gentleman started breaking down in tears, crying. He says to me, he's like, young man, I need to hear that, because you don't know what I've been going through. And so I'd never done this before. And so I listened to him, and he said, you know what I've been going through? And so I just, only thing I knew to say was what I heard my grandmother say for so many years when she prayed, and that was, in the name of Jesus. And so he got through sharing his story with me, and I just said, in the name of Jesus. I just prayed for him. And so from that point on, I loved the feeling that I had on the inside when I did that. I mean, it was almost like a power surge, a surge of power that rushed through me when I did that. And I was like, God, I was like, I love that thing. I want to get that all the time. And so from that point on, he began to lead me. He began to direct me. And it's only because that's what my grandmother modeled to me. She was always led by God's Holy Spirit. She was always diligent in the work of the kingdom. She was always serving. And so that's what I noticed, and so that's what I emulated, because as you know, Paul said, he said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. You know, model me as I model Christ. And I seen that example lived out in my home, my grandmother. And so from that point on, Again, I just want to be used by God. And it's the same to this day. That's when I was 22. Now I'm 38. So I have that same desire. You know, it's like the word says, you know, we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, I'm not interested in trying to earn God's attention or get his attention. You know, I live my life based on grace, based on the direction of the Holy Spirit. As he leads me, I follow. And so I would just encourage everyone out there to live a yielded life to the Holy Spirit. It's not complicated. It's not difficult. It's just a matter of wanting to be used. And I think a secondary consequence of having the Holy Spirit is that you have a desire on the inside to want to be used, to want to serve, and to want to reach others for Christ. So you can't tell me that you have the Holy Spirit living on inside of you, but you have no desire to be used, you have no desire to serve, and you have no desire to reach out to the lost. Because if the Holy Spirit leads it, if he lives in you and he's directing, he's guiding you, those desires are there. Those desires are there. And as you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, in any situation, when he places you in front of people, he'll give you the words to say. You don't have to sit there and fumble in your own, as Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own understanding, all your ways. He will direct your steps. He will orchestrate your paths as long as you trust in him. And so that's why I encourage everybody just to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, to trust in him, to believe that he's going to do exactly what his word says he will do. You don't have to worry about what you're going to say in that hour. He will give you what to say in that hour. You just make yourself available and watch him do the rest.
You know, the Lord, when he said that, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself. And the biggest problem is that I see is in the Christian world, you have the Lord's done amazing things in each one of our lives. But what have we done after he's done those things? What was the purpose of the demonstration of his love to us? How did it affect us? And I think about the 10 lepers, and only one of them came back and fell at the Lord's feet. All the other 9 went on, just kept on going the direction they were going. And the way I see it is the Lord's love and his deliverance, his power has been manifested in so many people's lives, but 90% tend to just keep on going the direction they were going to live their own life the way they wanted to. And what I see is that the 9 lepers had a disease that was going to kill them. They had a death sentence. There's no way they could live the life they wanted to. But once they were delivered, they said, woohoo, now we can go live the life that we never could before. You know, now we go on to live our own life. And only one of them came back to the Lord and fell at his feet. And the Bible says that that was the one that was made whole. And this is the key, is that the Lord wants us to come back to his feet. When he manifests his presence and his reality, he wants us to come back and fall at his feet. Lord, why did you heal me? Why did you demonstrate this undeserved act of love that you've done toward me? What can I do the rest of my life to serve you? And this is where the Lord, I believe, is calling us now. Have I revealed myself to you? Have I shown my reality to you? What are you going to do with that now? When I first got saved, I said, God, if you're real, show me a sign. Well, when he showed me the sign that I knew he was real, then it's like the ball fell back in my lap and I hear this, your move. Now, what are you going to do? And I thought, you know, if he loved me so much that he took care of me all the years I didn't care about him, how much more could he love me and take care of me if I put my life in his hands? And that was the turning point of my life, that I said, Lord, I've used my gifts and my talents, my abilities to get what I wanted in my own for myself. I said, I'm going to serve. I want to use those gifts, talents, and abilities from this day on to do what you want me to do with them, to serve you. And I think that's the time when you really are made whole. And I think about also when Jesus was at the well, the woman at the well, and all the other guys went to go get some food. Well, they came back and they wondered what he'd eaten. Well, he said, there's food that you know not of, and that's to do the Father's will. And that, I believe, is that feeling that you had. The Lord was filling you and feeding you food that you knew not of before, and he was strengthening your soul and satisfying you. And go ahead, Janet.
You know, as you guys were talking, you know, Ray was talking about when you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you desire to be used by the Lord, to be yielded to the Lord. And you had said, you know, there's a difference between Jesus being your Lord and your Savior. When he's your Lord, you become the servant. And I believe that, you know, there's people out there that are, as has professed Jesus as their Savior, And they say he's their Lord and Savior, but they're not. He's not necessarily their Lord because they're not listening to the voice. They have not allowed him to be the Lord, just the Savior. And I think when you're talking about the 10 lepers, the 9 that went, Jesus told them to go show themselves to the priests, I believe. So they received a physical healing, but it was the one that came back. He was whole, spirit, soul, and body. Because Jesus said, where are the other 9? They received something physical. I believe many people today, they receive Jesus as their Savior, but they never come back to make him the Lord. They don't want to live that submitted lives that we experience. You know, when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, we live a submitted life. Many people don't know how to live a submitted life to the Lord. I remember back in the day when we were baby Christians, I remember Ramsey, remember I would be at your house and spend the night and I'd wake up and Ramsey wouldn't even come out of the room. She'd be like, I'll see you in an hour. And she would always take that time. And I'd be like, wow, she's going to take an hour? What am I going to do? While she's in there praying, I thought, I guess I can do the same thing too. That was because I was so new in the Lord. You know, I wasn't even, you know, but 7 or 8 months old in the Lord. But you were one of the ones that really inspired me how to learn how to take time to pray and have a prayer life. I don't know if you realize that or not, but you used to do that. You'd say, oh, excuse me, I'll be back in an hour.
Well, praise God.
Yeah.
Do you know, I think that that's just it, is what is the example that we're leading for others? And I just speak forth a blessing over every single one of you out there listening, that you will rise up and be that blessing, that the hindrances are broken off of you in Jesus' name.
You know, I want to thank you guys. Our time's almost run out here, but I just want to thank you all for taking the time to share with the people here. Janet and Ray, you're going to be in Panama for the next 2.5 weeks. We're a little excited about all the places that the Lord's going to open up doors, schools. We've got colleges to go to. Churches will be doing outdoor meetings. There's going to be a lot of people's lives that are touched. We got 100,000 tracts to pass out. We got our work cut out for us. But I know the Lord is going to touch many people. And I just want to just share with you all out there that are listening. The Lord wants to touch your life too. And you just have to be yielded. Come back and fall at his feet, because that's where total healing takes place. And you might have done it your way for many years and things just don't seem to be working. Well, the Lord has a way that maybe you haven't discovered yet because you haven't really submitted everything to him. And if you just fall at his feet and say, Lord, what can I do with my life now to bless you instead of bless me? I know the Lord will do many wonderful things in your life. And also, if you'd like to donate onto the website, we have a PayPal button for the crusade. It's strengthforthejourney.com. But thanks for your time today, and we'll talk to you next time.